never despise small beginnings. Hungary, a former satellite of the Soviet Empire, is now a distribution center for Andrew Womack's teaching materials. From this small village house,
boxes everywhere.
Andrew's translated books are being shipped across Europe in 19 languages, with more to come. Each book shipped from this house is a seed planted for a multiplied harvest to come.
They got about every spot in here used.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm beginning my third week of teaching on a subject that I've entitled Redemption. And actually, this is a teaching that I gave at a California Gospel Truth seminar that I conducted. And I tell you, it was really powerful. I think people got hold of some truths that really, really impacted their life. So we've already talked about what redemption is. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." And so the scripture there defines what redemption is. It's talking about the forgiveness of sins. And I basically spent our first week of teaching on this just talking about how important it is to really understand that our sins are forgiven and that God is not relating to us based on our performance, that God has forgiven all of our sins, and we now have a new way of relating to God separate from our sins or our performance. Then in the second week, I started talking about how that all sins, not only the sins we committed up until the time that we confessed Jesus as our Savior, were forgiven, but even sins that haven't been committed yet, future sins, have all been forgiven. And I tell you, that is a major, major teaching. And I took that out of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12, 15, many of the verses in chapter 9. Then in chapter 10, verses 1 through 14, and chapter 12, verse 23. And we covered some things about how that all of our sins have been paid for so that we are sanctified and perfected forever. And I tell you, Scripture, especially those verses in Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10, if you really study the Word and believe the Word, I don't know how anybody can still maintain the attitude that is probably predominant in the body of Christ today about how that every time we sin, it's a new infraction against God, and we got to go back to God and get that sin under the blood, or we will receive some degree of punishment for it. The Scripture teaches against that. And I tell you, that is a powerful, powerful truth. Now, every time I teach that, I have people come up and criticize me and say, "Well, you're just making light of sin. You're saying that sin isn't important." And they'll start showing me scriptures instances in Scripture where sin was judged and all of these things to try and say, you're making light of sin. I am not making light of sin. What I'm doing is saying that the payment exceeded the cost, that the sacrifice of Jesus was so great that it overwhelmed all of the sin that the entire world has ever committed. And so what I started doing last Friday, and I'm going to continue that on our program today, is to just amplify the degree of payment that Jesus made. I could turn it around this way. You know, people say that I'm making light of sin when I say that all of our sins have been dealt with and that sin is no longer going to separate us from God. I'm talking about for the person who has made Jesus their Lord and has received that sacrifice. And when I say that, people say, "Well, you're making light of sin." I could turn it around and say that the people who are saying that every time we sin, you got to go to God and grovel in the dirt and you got to repent. And if you don't, that God is going to punish you to some degree. The extreme Pentecostals will say it could be total rejection of your salvation. You're lost. You're in a backslidden state and you got to be born again. Or a lesser interpretation of the same thing is you might not lose your salvation, but you lose all of your privileges. You aren't going to get your prayers answered. God won't fellowship with you. He won't give you joy. He won't give you peace. etc. To some degree, most of Christianity believes that you still have to suffer for every individual sin, and you've got to turn from them, get them confessed. Now, I also teach against sin, but not for the point of being in relationship with God. I believe that God, our relationship with God, is forever taken care of through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. But if you go live in sin, you are yielding yourself to Satan, the author of that sin, and he's going to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And so I believe that, yes, there are consequences to sin. And yes, as much as you possibly can, you need to quit living in sin because it gives Satan inroad into your life. But I am exactly the opposite of what most people preach, and that is that God, to some degree, is going to punish you or withdraw from you because of sin in your life. I believe that all sin has been paid for. And when a person criticizes that and comes against me, well, then they say that I'm making light of sin. I turn it around and say, you are making light of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't understand to what degree He paid for our sins. One drop of Jesus' blood was worth more than all of the sin and all of the transgression of the entire human race from all time in past to all of the time in the future, as long as this world lives. I guarantee you the payment exceeded the cost in a dramatic way. And so to prove that, I started going back to Isaiah chapter 52, and we looked at some verses in verse 14 where it says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. This is a prophetic scripture talking about Jesus and about the payment that he made. As we get into Isaiah chapter 53, many of these verses will become very familiar to you. They were quoted and applied in the New Testament directly back, quoting from the Old Testament and saying this was a direct fulfillment of Jesus, and this was talking about his crucifixion. So when it says that his visage, this was talking about Jesus, and the word visage means face, it was marred more than any man. We talked about that last Friday. And his form more than the sons of man, saying that he didn't even look human. Now, there is no amount of physical beating that the Romans could have given him that would have accomplished what this verse is describing. This means that what Jesus suffered is infinitely, infinitely greater than just the physical beating that the Romans inflicted and then the physical crucifixion. I believe that he bore sin in his body, and of course all of us have seen how that sin can affect the face and the form of a person. Sin really takes its toll on a person's life. And then beyond that, the scripture says that he also bore our sickness and carried our diseases. And so I believe that every sickness, every disease, every sickness and every disease of the entire human race entered into the physical body of Jesus, so that as he hung on the cross, he didn't even look like a human being. If you could imagine every tumor, every deformity, every adverse thing that has ever hit the entire human race, he bore all of that sickness. You know, I've already covered this. I really want to move on, but it's just hard to mention this without stopping and thinking on this. You know, in the Bible, there's many times that you'll see this word in the Psalms where it says Selah. And that means a number of different things. It's kind of a musical expression, but basically it means just stop and think about this. And, you know, there needs to be a Selah right here. It needs to dawn on us. It needs to sink in the price that Jesus paid. When a person says, well, I know that you've got to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, but then every time you sin, boy, you are in trouble. And until you straighten that out, until you repent, until you quit doing that, until you come back and do all of this, in a sense, what you're saying is what Jesus paid isn't enough. And as you look at what the scripture is saying right here, the degree of suffering that Jesus took for your sin and for mine, it just so overwhelms our sin that when you see it from this light, it's like, what could I add to what Jesus has done? The only thing I can do is just humble myself and receive this forgiveness as a gift. There's no amount of feeling unworthy and groveling in the dirt and feeling condemned that could ever add to anything that Jesus has done. Actually, if you think that Jesus is just a part of the payment and then you've got to add to that all of your holiness and you've got to do all of these things, in a sense, what you are doing is polluting this perfect, pure sacrifice that was made for your sins, thinking that you have to add to it. Anything that you add to what Jesus has done takes away from what Jesus has done. Well, that's a powerful statement. Anyway, I could go back and re-preach all that. But let's drop down into chapter 53. This is Isaiah chapter 53. And the writer here, Isaiah, is just continuing to speak through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and prophesy about the coming Messiah at his time of writing, the coming Messiah who would make this payment for the sins of the whole world. And in Isaiah chapter 53, he starts off by saying, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Now, again, if you were to go back and take all of this in context, actually from about Isaiah chapter 40, where he started talking about the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, say unto her that her warfare is over." All of those scriptures from Isaiah chapter 40 on up through this 53rd chapter are all prophetic scriptures talking about Jesus and what he would accomplish. And so he had spent a lot of time prophesying some powerful things that the Lord was going to just totally transform. There was going to be a brand new way of relating to God. And all of these things were New Testament realities, things that weren't true in his day, but he was looking forward to this time when the Messiah would come. And basically here in Isaiah 53:1, he just had to stop and praise God for a moment. Like, who can believe this? This is nearly too good to be true news, which is what the real definition of the word gospel really means. It's good news, but it's even better than that. It's nearly too good to be true news. Isaiah, as he was prophesying about this coming Messiah who was going to be in his face, it was going to be so marred more than any person who had ever lived on the face of the earth. And his form was going to be so marred that he wouldn't even look human. And he was going to do all of this because he was taking our sin and our punishment. God was placing on him the iniquity of us all. And as Isaiah saw this, even as God was speaking through him and he was writing these things down, he was just overwhelmed to the point that, who can believe this? Who can believe our report? Who can understand this? It takes a supernatural revelation from God to be able to get a revelation of what Jesus has done. You know, over in Galatians chapter 3, Paul was rebuking them and he said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." Now, he wasn't physically crucified before them in a physical way. They didn't see it with their physical eyes. But what the Apostle Paul is referring to is that he went into these details. He shared the sacrifice of Jesus in such detail and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that it was so that it was just like those people had seen Jesus crucified. And, you know, I could spend a lot of time. I could spend more time than I've got on today's program trying to make this point. But let me just quickly mention that seeing Jesus and what he paid for your sins by revelation of the Holy Spirit is actually better than if you had physically been present at the crucifixion of Jesus. I know some of you may stumble at that thinking, "Oh, no way." Well, yes way. It is true. You know, when I went and saw the movie, The Passion of the Christ, which I'm not critical of this movie, I think that Mel Gibson, I commend him for even trying, making an attempt. He himself said that he had to tone it down from what he really believed it was, or it would have been triple X rated so that nobody would have come. So I'm not critical of his attempt, but I'm just saying that there is nothing visible that could portray all of the suffering that Jesus really went through, the emotional pain, the shame of becoming sin and of being separated and rejected by his Father because he became sin for us. And there's just no way that you can physically represent that. As I was watching that movie, The Passion of the Christ, I was actually disappointed watching this movie because I had anticipated this just overwhelming me and getting a much greater revelation of the sacrifice and the payment that Jesus made. And again, I'm not critical of the movie. I think that it was a good movie. I don't know how you could improve on all of that stuff as far as just depicting the physical suffering. But as I watched this, the image that I had on the inside, what I had seen in my heart through prayer and studying the Word and the Holy Spirit granting me revelation, it was much more graphic in my heart. It was much more real in my heart. I could see better with my heart than I could see with my physical eyes. I don't know if that was your experience or not. I know that there's some people that was just they thought that went over the top trying to portray the suffering of the Lord. But I tell you what, it didn't even come close to matching the image and what I had already seen in my heart. What I'm trying to say, what Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, what Isaiah is prophesying right here is that you have to have this revealed unto you by the Holy Spirit. It has to become a supernatural revelation to you to get this. If all you do is just think with your mind, if all you do is try and understand this in intellectual terms, and if you don't get this in your heart, it has to come by revelation of the heart. And I believe that God is trying to speak to some of you today. Some of you have looked at sin and looked at the atonement of Jesus, and you've thought, oh, sin is so terrible. And you see Jesus as just barely making enough atonement, and that to that you have to add your goodness, your holiness, you have to be quick to repent, you have to walk the straight and the narrow, you have to maintain a certain standard of living in all of these things. I'm telling you, if that's the way that you think, you have never gotten by revelation what Jesus has done. You know, this is similar to what it says over in Romans chapter 8. It says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you just think about all of the suffering that has ever gone on in this world, all of the people that have been abused, the rape, the murder, the torture, the heartbreak, the hurt, the sickness, the suffering, the death. You just think about that. I mean, think about it in your own life. And, you know, some people just think that, man, this is so terrible that nothing could ever compensate you. And yet the Scripture says that what God has prepared for us in heaven is so glorious that in comparison, all of the sufferings, that means the Holocaust that the Jews went through in World War II, the millions, 20-something million people that Stalin killed in Russia, you take all of the genocide that we're seeing today, everything that has ever happened in the history of the world isn't even worthy to be compared to what God has waiting for us. You know what? You just can't grab that with your mind. It's easy to visualize and to see and to feel the hurt and the pain of all of the tragedy that has gone on in the world. Most of us are in touch with that. But when it comes to imagining what's going to be in heaven, you know what? Most of us kind of draw a blank. And so it seems like that the sufferings of this world are so big. But according to Scripture, what is waiting for us in heaven is going to be so awesome that, you know what, nobody will look back at the trouble they had on this earth and be limping all through eternity, still dragging their emotional scars and pains throughout all eternity. What we are going to have in heaven is going to be so glorious that it is not, we aren't even going to remember and think about this. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the former things are passed away and that they won't come into mind anymore. I mean, we have something so glorious that it just completely swamps, it overwhelms. It's like a tidal wave coming in and overthrowing a little tiny sandcastle on the beach. In comparison, all of the things that have ever happened to us in this world are going to be nothing compared to this huge, huge recompense that God has waiting on us in heaven. And I believe that in the same way as that comparison is made, that the payment that Jesus made exceeds the cost or the demand of what sin had, the justice that was had to be poured out, the payment, the punishment for sin. That is so minuscule compared to the payment that Jesus made for our sins. That if you could ever get this, as Isaiah is saying, by revelation, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If God would reveal this to you, which I believe He's speaking to you today and trying to get this concept across to you, you would be so overwhelmed with what Jesus has done that your sins, in comparison, I'm not saying that sin is insignificant, but in comparison to the payment that Jesus made for your sin is insignificant. And you know, if people understood this, I've heard people come before and they'll say, well, I know that God exists. I know that I need to be saved, but I've just done so many bad things. I've lived such a bad life. I'm just not sure that God could forgive me. When a person says that, what they're saying is they don't have a clue to what extent Jesus made payment for our sins. You have magnified your sin, and with the help of religion, you have been condemned, and your sin is so big that you think Jesus isn't as big as your sin. I'm telling you, it's exactly the opposite. When you understand what I'm talking about, then I don't care what you've done. I don't care how vile it is. The Apostle Paul said he was the worst of all sinners. He was absolutely the worst. He killed people in the name of the Lord, thinking he was doing God's service. And Paul said, and yet God saw fit to save him and make him an example for other people. I guarantee you, when a person is sitting there saying, but I'm just not sure God could forgive me. If you've ever reached a place to where you felt like you've sinned so much that God just was through with you. You know, I actually felt like that one time. And relative to other people, I haven't committed near the sins that most people have. And yet, I was under this religious teaching and I was so condemned because I wasn't the witness to people that I was supposed to be. And I was timid and shy. And I felt so vile that I remember when I was in Vietnam just thinking that, God, you've bound to have set me on the shelf. How could you ever use me? You know, when you say things like that, it's because of a lack of revelation about what Jesus has paid for you. You have focused upon sin. You have magnified it to where you've made your sin bigger than God. I'm here to tell you today that I don't care what you've done. I don't care how vile it is. I don't care how many multiple offenses you've got. Your sin is insignificant. It's like a drop in the ocean compared to the payment that has been made for your sins. The payment of Jesus exceeds the cost that you had associated with your sin. Jesus has more than paid for it. It would be like if you had a debt of, say, $1,000, and if I was the richest person in the history of the world and I came along and to relieve you of your debt, I just said, well, here's $1,000,000. Will that cover it? You know what? $1,000,000 more than covers the $1,000 debt that you had. Well, that's like our sin amounted to, say, this much because of the things that we had done. But the payment that Jesus made for the sins of every person on the face of the earth for all time was so much greater that it just totally overwhelms it. And now God can look at you, and even though you've done all of these things wrong, God can look at you without any anger, without any bitterness, without any contempt, because He sees you through Jesus, and the payment that was made for your debt exceeded the cost supernaturally. Man, that's good news. That's nearly too good to be true news. Boy, that's powerful. You know, I got a little carried away on this today, but I believe I was carried away by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to do this. Some of you have just felt like you couldn't possibly be in right standing with God like somebody else. That's because you've magnified your sins instead of magnifying the atonement that was made for your sins. And so that's what I'm trying to do through these scriptures, is just to magnify and show you that the payment exceeded the cost. And I think that this could really help you. I'm going to continue this on my program tomorrow, and I really encourage you to listen in. And also, I've got this album entitled Redemption. And then the third teaching in this album is entitled The Payment Exceeded the Cost. And it'll talk about exactly what I was talking about on today's program. It would be a real help to you. So I encourage you to get that. We're going to have my announcer share with you about all of these materials. And I encourage you to please call or write, respond, and take advantage of these materials. Then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Redemption was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056C for the CD or T3201D for the DVD. Or you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Redemption series titled The Payment Exceeded the Cost is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK138C. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started. And you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth seminar April 15th through the 17th. And at the Solid Rock of Atlanta, April 18th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs, June 28th through July 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.